Thank you. All right. It says here, the 16th of Nov, 61. St. Hill Special Briefing Course. I'm very pleased to hear that we are getting rapid checkouts, that lots of people are wanting things checked out. It's about time that we got the fire lighted in back of the rocket and took the donkey out of the traces. This is all about routine 3D, of course. The first thing I would like to remark on is the way people can dream up mistakes. You know, you lay something down and you say, well, you put your right foot in front of your left foot, you know? And then, by George, did you know that was only when you used Hessian, when you were wearing Hessian boots? And did you know that was only when the snow was coming down and the temperature was 16 degrees exactly Fahrenheit above zero? Did you realize that? This is the kind of sort of thing I get, you know? You say, you do this, and you do this, you know? And there are no exceptions. There's this. That's it. You see? And then you find out that's only when you're wearing Hessian boots. And you get these weird additives onto the situation and that sort of thing. And anybody could do it, but they just read something that isn't there, you know? Or they just heard something that was never said. And we've had a couple of you actually reading the whole list, including those that went no. In other words, you let's take 15 items. So every time the auditor goes over the list, he reads 15 items, regardless of what went no. If it went null on one reading, then we read it again. See? Kind of to see if it's still null or something. And of course, a PC goes stark, staring mad. A PC will go halfway around the bend. His bank will practically collapse on him. Because you've got this thing null, you see, and now you've started to audit it. And nothing will scrub, and the pictures will start collapsing, and bric-a-brac starts flying about, and the rudiments will go out that way, and the PC maybe doesn't spot what's happening. And it is just a, somebody said on a report today, a cow's breakfast. Here and there, there are going to be people who wouldn't realize that that would do anything wrong. See? You know how I know this was being done? Because there were exactly the same number of check marks after each read. We get an X, and then we get a live read after it. And then we get an X and a live read after it. And although stylized assessment tells us that all we do is put down a slant, and as long as it's alive, we just leave the slant there and leave it alone. For the purpose of checking, it would probably be much easier on D's and P's if we put a slant down every time it was alive. Some of you are doing that. Then you can see that the item went alive and went dead and went alive and gives you more information. You make a mark every time. The system's perfectly acceptable. Any system you use is perfectly acceptable, as long as it's readable. As long as I know, as long as I know what you're doing with the system, you see that nobody's forcing that marking system off on you as a system. But let's have the thing discernible as to what was going on, and the agreed upon one is you make a slant when it's alive. And when it goes dead, you put a cross. You complete that slant and make it a cross. And now we could tell if this ever happened again if people kept on making slant marks after a cross. Now sometimes rudiments go out and the whole list goes null and nothing is reading. The goal isn't reading. Nothing is reading any place because the rudiments are out. And we go through the whole list and we scratch the whole list out. Well, it would save us a little work if we made a slant every time that we went through the list and found something alive or out.
if we marked it every time. It would save us a little work. Why? Because we only had to go back as far as the rudiments were out. You see, we'd only have to go partially back through the list again. We'd just take those that were still in. We'd see that the rudiments had been out. There were some stuff alive after the fourth read, and then everything went null, and then something. Well, we've got to reassess again all over. Well, there's no reason really to go back to the beginning of the assessment and scrub it out, because we would upset the PC's bank if we did that. Let's take the point where they all went out and then just back up about two reads, you see, and just reread those, and we'll find they're all in again. You see that as a time saver. It's a good idea. But whatever you do, the only exception, and that's not a full exception to scrubbing them out and Xing them out and leaving them out when you're doing an assessment list, the only exception to it is when everything has gone null and by reason of out rudiments. And now you don't know where you are at. You get the rudiments in. Well, there's no reason to throw the list away. What went out was not the list, but the rudiments. And the list ceased to read. So you've got to backtrack across all those beautiful X's, all those items you'd already gotten rid of. You just have to move back now into the area where you still had reads and reassess from there on. So in that event, you could see a marking like this, slant, slant, X, slant, slant, X, slant, slant. That looked very weird, but it'd mean that the rudiments went out and everything went null on the list. But before you got that kind of a pattern, it must have happened that the whole list went null because of our rudiments. So you'd have to have realized that. You see what I'm talking about? But just going through, you don't X one out and slant it back in and X it out and slant it in and out and in and out. Assessment is very remarkable, because we're doing, basically, assessment by elimination, which, at best, is a happy accident. I found that auditors were having great difficulty differentiating between the greatest read and the lessest read, and I found out that there was an enormous advantage, and actually helped the case and advanced things and so forth, to assess by elimination. And I found this oddity, that on assessment by elimination, you wind up with one item, and it stays in. Now, that was a happy accident. Well, there's only one list on routine 3D that violates this one item left, and that is the modifier. The modifier over here, which I think is number 4, yes, Mr. Modifier can easily be left with 3, 4, or 5 alive before they all null. Now, the 3, 4, or 5 alive, combined in some peculiar way, gives you the modifier. They don't give you the modifier complete. They usually give you the modifier in phrases. So one phrase of the modifier was at the beginning of the list, and another phrase of the modifier was at the end of the list, and a couple of phrases of the modifier were in the middle of the list. And you wind up there when you get down in assessing a modifier and you find you've got 3 or 4 still alive. Well, just assume that in some combination you've got the modifier. Now, if you combine these around, you take these 4, you know that silly game that they have, beat the clock and that sort of thing, you know, and the girl steps up with this magnetic board, and a stitch in moss saves 9, or something like this. And she's got some type of thing, you know. And she steps up, and she moves these boards over the magnetic blackboard to finally come up with a rolling stone never has to work, or whatever it is. And you've got this thing, and they've got to make a cliche. Well, in this particular operation, a similar operation takes place at the stage of the modifier. Let's say you've got, I don't care if you take five. You've got five final bits. And I give you an example, possibly. But you've got these five final bits, and they're apparently disrelated. You know, to heave everything overboard is one of them. Leave forever is another one of them. You know, you've asked the fellow what he'd do in revenge or his consequences or his threat or something, whatever you want, in case his goal wasn't reached, what he would add to that goal, you know. And the list is long, but just to throw everything overboard or heave everything overboard is one of them. To leave forever is another one. And they're disrelated. See, they're a half a list apart. And you get down to the end of the list, and you've still got these two alive. And they're very markedly alive, and they both get the same little funny rock slam or whatever it is that you're assessing the goal and everything else is following through on a pattern. And you should at that moment suspect that the modifier to build ships, let us say, was the goal, to build ships. The modifier is not just one of these. Modifier is both of them. And your main problem is which one comes first. That's your main problem. Of course, you do that by asking the PC, how do these things fit? Well, of course, you find out it's to build ships or throw everything overboard and leave forever. To build ships or to throw everything overboard and leave forever. See, that's quite easy to disentangle. But some of them are quite esoteric. And what keeps them tied in is the fact that they are denied to the PC. He's got them mocked up, but now he can't get back at them again. Because they're bouncers, they're deniers, they're callbacks. It's a mess. And I'll give you a few tips on this. It isn't as crucial now that you're doing 3D. It isn't anywhere near as rough as it was. You'll find that you can sort the modifier out of this long list of threats that he gives you and so forth. But for heaven's sakes, write down every one he gives you when he gives it to you, because he may say it and bounce. See? He says to leave forever, and that just flicks it and throws it into restimulation, and you never get it again because he's bounced. He's gone. Now, what do I mean by bounced? Well, you get the idea, the PC traveling on the time track and then moving off at an erratic angle. He's going from a consecutive moment to moment to moment to moment very nicely, but he hits moment 13 and he goes at right angles. He doesn't move up the time track, down the time track. Actually, he just moves at right angles to it. He just leaves that area. And you'll actually get some of the wildest phenomena. You'll be auditing along, you'll be trying to find a modifier, and all of a sudden the PC will be in present time. Actually, sometimes in auditing, a goals terminal that has a lot of modifiers in the goal that are bouncers, you'll be actually running the goals terminal, and the PC will be sitting there all of a sudden, suddenly, you see, just he'll be sitting there, bright-eyed, wide open, and so on. He's looking at you, very alert. And you'll notice there's something strange that's just happened and so forth. You'll say, well, that was a long time ago. Yep, well, that's a long time ago. Well, it sure feels better to be in present time. Everything feels better. You ask them the next auditing question, you know. What dog's breakfast do you dislike? and he says, oh, I guess I would have liked something or other. And so on. But you know, I think that thing is all erased. It's all washed out. You know, I'm not the least bit concerned about it now. Actually, what he's done, you don't do anything about it. You just go on auditing him. But you should understand what's happened to him. He's hit the bouncer. And it makes him feel like he's in present time. Well, if present time was 1,765,000,000 years ago, he's in present time, all right. But he's gone at right angles, and he's no longer thinking, you see, of what he was thinking about, and it's sort of not any longer in his vicinity. So he's happy about the whole thing. Of course, that's the way he's gotten by in the past. He's hit this bouncer, he's gone off, and he didn't have to worry about it anymore. And you'll have a lot of people around who tell you that they have odd things happen to them. Well, they go on worrying, they can worry just so long, and then they don't care anymore. And they actually are not particularly quoting the modifier and so forth. They're just, they hit the bouncer. And they've observed about themselves that they just worried so long and then didn't care anymore. The modifier would be something like this. Well, but if I have to worry about it, I will leave forever, you know. And they've hit the I'll leave forever. Bang, they're out of it. It's quite interesting. It's like keeping track of a ping pong ball, you know. Well, there are down bouncers. But I will go back and finish it later. Now, there is a down bouncer combined with an up bouncer. Isn't that nice? So, of course, when he hits the down bouncer, he goes down the time track, goes earlier in time, but a split second later will hit the up bouncer and be in apparent present time. And, you know, and he'll be giving you the modifier list. And you watch. I invite your attention on this. When you're assessing for modifiers and when you're getting the list, watch the different manifestations of the PC. They get resty, they get twisty, or they be very relaxed, or all of a sudden they don't go care about it. It seems all right to them suddenly. Everything seems fine. First time it seemed fine for a long time. For a long time. You'll very often find it's in the next phrase. Exactly what the PC has done one or two phrases ago, or you were checking off, you see, is found suddenly in the next phrase to be alive. You get the idea? You'll hit a bouncer or something, and then by your repeating the bouncer, he goes back into this thing and he changes his manifestation. It's quite wild. And looking for the modifier knocks the fellow all over the time track. The thing is a stuck moment in time. Actually, the goal, the opposing terminal, the opposing goal, the modifier, and the goal plus modifier terminal, and the pre-have level are all suspended in one instant of time. They had an inception. They started somewhere. And he's no place else than there. But the phraseology in it gives him the illusion of elsewheres. And he responds with a total dramatization of the modifier, with his down bouncers, up bouncers, callbacks. Now, a callback, but I will leave and come here. Zoom, clink. Right. Now those are the command. Anything that you could tell a person to do as an order, to go up, to go down, to go out, to go in, to go earlier, to go later, any type of command that you could give somebody who's kind of in an hypnotic trance, you know, make him feel that he was earlier or later, are these bouncers. Now, out actually classifies as a bouncer and a denier. A denier is the things which deny knowledge of. And that is never know it, never know about it, can't come near it, which is a combination of a denier and a, see? All of these phraseologies, which any phrase that you could think of in any language that would deny a person knowledge of something would be classified as a denier. All right. Now, the most important of these are the bouncers, whether up or down, the denier, and the callback. And that's the come-heres in it, you see. And so forth. Now, classified with these callbacks are the stickers. And you've, of course, been finding stucks on the track ever since you've been auditing. And there are stuck phrases in modifiers. Stay right here and wait no matter how long it takes. That would not be unusual to find in a modifier. It parks the person on the track very effectively. Now, the oddity is here that these semantics do exist in the modifier and do exist as appendages to the goal. That's an oddity. But they do, and you can count on finding them. The goal, of course, is in plain view, to build ships. Oh, well, to build ships. Naturally, the Queen has crowned him in the past for building ships. He's been complimented for building ships. And so forth. And everything has been going along fine about building ships, except one thing. He just never seemed to succeed in building ships. Everything happened but the building of ships. He wanted to build ships. He knew he wanted to build ships, but he somehow or another never really gets down to building ships. And if he gets close to building ships, it's very upsetting to him. Nobody has ever had a successful career on their goal terminal. They haven't had totally successful careers on that ever since it became this combination. There's always been something wrong with the career. And they knew it. It was an unhappy circumstance. They've done it somewhat. They have tried it somewhat. They have always lived with it. And somehow or another, it has always worked into the woof and warp of their existence. But they've never succeeded. A person who has a goal to be an actress, which assessed out as the only goal and which ran on routine 3D, you would check back carefully and find that she had many, many, many times been an actress. That's for sure. She'd many times been an actress and gotten shot and stabbed and the theater burned down and producers committed suicide and she committed suicide and everybody in the company was died and so forth. And it's just like a Jonah. She had a goal to be an actress. The others were just actresses. See? Actors and actresses, that was all right. But she had a goal to be an actress. You see? Well, why? Well, of course, there's the modifiers. And she's failed in the goal. And as she fails in the goal, she, of course, adds little threats to it to people who shouldn't keep her from failing in it. You see? That's a preventive. The modifiers are preventive. It makes people leery of stopping you along this line. That's one of the things it does. It's barbed wire, which is hidden under the water. So to build ships, this is great, see? To build ships, and if they don't go down the ways properly, to fix them so they sink at once. Because they will be unlucky. And nobody will be able to live with them. Or know why. Now we get this bird and the Royal Navy gets him over here in a dockyard. See, and he's a shipwright. And it's all right as long as they go down the waist properly. This fellow's never worried. But you can see his fellow workers, you know. He says he worries about the luckiness of it, and he wants to know who's going to launch the ship, what admiral's wife or what politician's wife is going to crack the champagne on the nose, and so on. Funny part of this is there never has been, if you check with him, there never has been a ship launched right. There's always something a little wrong. The champagne splattered too much, you see, or the waves stuck for a moment, or it didn't actually bob properly as it went into the water, you see? And there's always something a little bit wrong with it. And eventually you'll find his fellow workmen's a little bit superstitious about ever letting him go aboard a ship after it's launched. Because they sink. It's quite untraceable, aside from the fact that he always goes down and trips over the plug by accident, you see? But that whole modifier will be effective. But look, trying to find that modifier, look that you've got to sink. A person hits this, accepts this as a literal connotation, of course, goes out of the moment. And you say, what was that? And he says, what? What did you just say? Well, I didn't. Didn't say anything much. I don't know. Just a minute. I got it. It's Carmelag of some kind or another. There's something here. There's something here. There's something here. And you'll think around for it for a while and you'll never get it again. But if you say, sink, 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 sink. Now, what was the line? Oh, to sink them. He's right back in and you've got to read back on the meter. Now, the dangers of finding a modifier consist of the fact that they go on and off the meter. In other words, a person can bounce out of that instant in time and cease to read on the meter. Now, of course, we've taken the weight, actually, off of the modifier by finding the opposing goal and the opposing terminal. We've got those things found, so the weight is actually off, and the modifier's more visible. Actually, the case isn't under as much pressure as he was under, because you've already located the enemy. Warn him. And it's easier to find the modifier, but you will still, very probably, get into situations in finding the modifier where the whole list goes null. Everything else is in. But the whole list is null. You can find nothing. It was reacting. It isn't reacting. It'd be the most mysterious thing you ever saw if you don't know the data I'm giving you here. It'd just be a total mystery. And everybody will be able to run routine 3D right down to step 4, and then ever so many cases, they will strike one that is, well, I got as far as the modifier. We never did find the modifier. Why? Well, the case is very live, and the case dramatizes the modifier so heavily that when it says leave, he leaves the incident, and it won't read. When it says sink, he sinks below the incident, and of course it won't read. And when it says never know about it, and nobody will find out, of course he never finds out. In other words, he does everything idiot simple that it says in the modifier, which is quite remarkable. A modifier does not also care about spelling. Anything that can be translated through is quite marvelous. He rowed a boat, R-O-A-D, a boat. R-O-D-E, a boat. Very often finding putting to sea with boots and spurs on, I think is quite necessary. Quite in addition to R-O-W-E-D, a boat. This is idiot. This is simple Simon idiocy. And any language the PC gets into, the modifier shortly gets translated over, so it's now expressed in the new language. Interesting, isn't it? Because in the first place, the modifier is a thought. And if you believe that all thoughts are semantic, why then, of course, nobody can think without talking. Actually, this whole thing is conceptual. And you get a conceptual line. So at various times of his career, the concept has transferred over into the homonyms and synonyms of the language in which he happens to be living at the moment. And it has quite different homonymities. I can't think of one in Japanese particularly, but that would be a doll, you know. Anybody that ever picks up a body in Japan must go practically mad, because practically everything means everything. So any concept of leaving would get translated into any Japanese word that sounds like the Japanese word leaving, and you'd have homonymity. Well, a homonym, of course, is he rowed a boat. Which road are you talking about? R-O-D-E, R-O-W-E-D, and O-A-D. They're homonyms. They're close homonyms, sonic homonyms. They're spelled differently, which is why I'm trying to use it to get it across to you. But just road, well, in Japanese, to eat rice, to cross bridges, to blow your nose, to kill your wife, is probably all under the same word, mwah. everywhere. And that could mean any one of those. You'll see two Japanese in argument, and they have to get out pencils and papers and write the katakana characters up in the corner, and they write the Chinese character. They write the Chinese character down and show it to each other. Oh, you're talking about your shipyard. Ah, I see. I thought you were talking about the theater. What it is a very intellectual people, unfortunately inherited a Malay sort of dialect, which wasn't much of a language. And then the Buddhist priests came in and taught them to read and write in Chinese. And so their written tongue is enormously expressive, with something on the order, 300,000 words in it, all with different Chinese characters, but not pronounced the same as the Chinese pronounce them. But their spoken language is baby talk. And people look at you with awe when you say you can speak some Japanese. I don't know why they'd look at you with awe about speaking Japanese. Oh, reading Japanese, well, they should look at you as a miracle of all miracles. In the first place, it'd ruin anybody's eyesight. That's the first and foremost thing, you see. But that's homonymic. So the Thetan would have this thought concept going through to build ships or sink them if they didn't go all right, if they didn't launch all right. And he'd have that concept through, but it'd transfer into all the homonyms in Japanese. That isn't an important point to you. It's just a little side comment. In other words, he'd think, you know, building ships, launching ships, sinking ships, going away, and so on. He'd think this, you see, but it wouldn't be verbalized. Now, that non-verbalized thing, of course, adapts itself into the language. So he will verbalize it. And probably the first time it ever gets adapted into the language, in some cases, in some parts of the modifier, is when you're auditing it. There'll be parts of the modifier which have been dramatized but have never been vocalized. Never have been vocalized. He's never vocalized any part of this. It's just remained hidden. Well, the last 500 languages that he spoke, the modifier actually were never verbalized into those languages either. They were simply dramatized, whole cloth. Well, when you start finding them, you get all these oddities, and particularly those that have been verbalized by him. He very often will use parts of his modifier as a cliché, one of his favorite clichés. Or there will be some kind of a slang phrase in the society which happens to match up to the Englishization of the modifier. I will see an example of that. What's a good cliché? Spin in. All right, spin in. Well, there's something in his modifier that is going in circles. But the thought concept could go in circles. And he hears this slang phrase, spin in, and it means go crazy. Well, his modifier actually has never meant go crazy to him before, but it'll backflash right straight back into the modifier, and now it means go crazy. You see? In other words, he can reinterpret this modifier because it's actually just a thought concept, which is held suspended in time, which gets translated into the various languages where the person is at work. Now, you trying to find these things are plowing straight at something which he has for eons. Oh, well, worse than that. That's a short period of time compared to how long the piece he's had this. You know, and there he is. And he just literally takes it literally. Dramatizes it. Anything with the thought concept. He'll do it. He'll do it mentally. Leave, he leaves. He gets the idea of having left. You see? So the phrase leaves occurs in the modifier. He instantly gets the idea of having left. The thought concept come back occurs in the modifier. You'll see him come back. And never know it. Nothing there. I don't know if there's anything about that. I don't know why you keep asking. Is the meter reading? Well, it couldn't be reading. Couldn't be reading. No. There's nothing there. And you, in desperation, keep repeating, there's nothing there, there's nothing there. It doesn't apply the modifier. It doesn't make the needle make either. And then I want to show you the next trick. He's given you a long, ready list, and you've been very, very careful to write down everything he said. A modifier list is, if anything, trickier than a goals list, because you must write down everything the PC says very carefully, and you must not lose it. Don't mislay the scrap of paper. You know, how would he take revenge on people? How would he modify this goal if it failed, and that sort of thing? And, well, and when they're launched, yeah, and when they're launched. Good. Particularly when they're launched. That's right, yes. It's actually to build ships and launch them. It's to build ships and launch them, yes. Well, that's how I'd modify it. I would launch them. Don't argue with him. Put it down. He's the modifier. You write down what he said it was the first time. See? Because in this particular case, he said to build ships when they were launched. You get it right, see? But it launched him. That is. So he can't quite come back into the vicinity of the thing again because he's launched. The idea. So he'll give you an interpretation. So he gives you the modifier, usually right the first time, and then he modifies it. He modifies the modifier. And you don't want the modification of the modifier, you want the modifier. So you write down what he gave you the first time and don't go arguing with him and don't ask him to clarify it. When you're writing a list, don't ask him to clarify a thing. You just write down whatever he says. Well, just how else would you? That's a good rule for all assessing and making up lists. Just write down what the PC tells you. We just had an example of a goal having been held up in its discovery for something on the order of about 7 months. Not here, way, way from here. And the original goals list was kept in scrap notes, rephrased by the auditor. Not one of them was phrased the way the PC gave it. And they were all changed and altered, and they were kept on little scraps, and the piece of paper evidently is written diagonally across corners, you know, and so on. It's just a bunch of junk, and written across the sides, and so forth, and just notes, you know, one word of the goal. You know, well, he wanted to fly airplanes, so whoever it was writing the list just wrote down over here in the corner, airplanes. That's great, you know. And you know, nobody was ever able to assess that list. And just about 10 days ago, somebody assessed the list by first getting the PC to give them the goal for each one of these scraps of notes and making a proper goals list of everything the PC said. And it was such a relief to the PC to get all his goals written down the way he said them and not rephrased by the auditor that it practically cleared up the ARC break, and it was only something on the order of, I don't remember exactly, I think it was 5 hours to find the goal. And the goal was that close to hand. It was that easy. Just as long as one did a neat job of listing exactly what the PC gave you. Well, this becomes very crucial in a modifier. You're not going to get anywhere near as many modifiers as you are goals. You might not get 30 modifiers. You might not get 15 modifiers. But if you wrote each one down, see, this is what I wouldn't be able to find out if you did, so that's why I'm covering this thing laboriously. The PC said, well, when launched, I'd launch them. You write down, when launched. And write down, I'd launch them. So you write them both down. Write whatever the PC gave you. Now, supposing this thing is all full of bouncers and call, I'd be very suspicious of a modifier list that didn't have any of these trick phrases in it. Very suspicious. Because the goal would never be hung up without a modifier with tricks in it. Nothing's hanging up the goal. Just as somebody who's used to construction work, you ask him to believe that the roof is standing there with no walls. when you show me a modifier list that hasn't any bouncers, callbacks, deniers, or anything of the sort in it, I'm sort of think of myself as being asked to look at a building where the roof is standing in the air with no walls. I don't think it can exist. I wouldn't bother to walk around the corner and look at it. Something's wrong here. That would be the first major thing that could happen. You find out you wouldn't get the person's modifier either, probably, on such a list. There'd be something tricky about the wording. There'd be something just a little offbeat and a little weird about the whole thing. Something like the order, and never be there, and not know it, and not find out, and not have it, and leave, and come back, and go a long time later. And it's kind of a mess of words that keeps the PC out of the vicinity of the goal. You see, there has to be tricks like this in a goal line, otherwise it would have as-ised years and years and years and ages and ages and ages ago. There has to be something that is misdirectional. You call these phrases directional phrases or misdirectional phrases. And there's something about it. And there's usually several combinations of them. Now we go down this list that we have written. And the PC at never any time says anything that's the least bit weird. You know? It's to build ships and paint them. To build ships and make people happy. To build ships and be happy about it. To build ships and feel good about it. To build ships our luck is out today. That's about what we would think about that time. Our luck is out. About that time we would repeat our question more loudly and a little more forcefully. What would you do to get revenge on people if they didn't let you build ships? Would you do anything like that? Oh, I'd leave them, of course. Ah, well, clever that time, weren't we? Crafty, huh? You just back it up to them, you know? And get some more of those. Get some more of those. Get all the things a fellow might do and would do. And then go ahead and assess this list just as such. And if all of a sudden you wind yourself up with nothing, and you assess the list again, you can't wind up with nothing, and you just wind up with everything null, and it's all out, don't assume that you haven't got the modifier. You've got the modifier. But the PC is dramatizing it to such a confounded degree that he's not there. You know what you do then? You can take a red pencil and you can go around each type of Dianetic phrase from everything down the whole line and draw a circle around every and come back, leave them, and look at it later, and never inspect. All such types of phrases. All such types of phrases. Now you do a highly specialized type of assessment on this. You get the PC on the meter, you got that meter sitting there, and you're just going to do this. Now, I might as well give you this trickery. You don't have to be an expert on it, because I've already fixed it up the other way. So in the majority of cases, you just get the modifier, bing. But you should know all this about modifiers, you see, because it's a piece of technology. Long established. What I'm giving you here is the basis of what I'm giving you in 1950. Anyway, we take the first one, and that was a denier, see? And never find out if I had failed. See, that's the first, and never find out. We don't care about the I have failed. That'll turn up later. But we do care about this never find out. What a beautiful denier. So we got the PC on the cans, we got it right there, and we just start chanting, and never find out, 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 and never find out. Read. We got to read. I never find that's gone, too. Never find out how he got a read all right. Now, we'll mark that particular phrase with a little symbol to show that we got to read. And we take the next one. Go down. Go down, 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 go down. It's red. Oh, that's nice. That's fine. That's all we want to know at this stage of the game. So we make a mark with that one red. Next one is leave it out. Leave it out, 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 leave it out. Leave it out, leave it out. No, skip it. That one's null. And the next one we had found, you see these phrases are masked in the things they had said, and we're not now assessing the whole thing they said. We've picked out all the Dianetic bouncers and callbacks and, you know, all that, and we've just got circles around those exact little phrases. You know, it may have been, well, the phrase, and then I would have to get out for sure. Well, we're only interested in the action phrase, so it's get out. Get out. We're not interested, and then I would have to. And we just sit there and we say, get out, 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 get out. The PC will all of a sudden say, yes, get out. Yeah, get out. Get out. All right, get out. Good. Boy, that really hit him. Get out. You've worn it out a little bit. To a degree, and you've got him back in it. He grooved there. So we marked that one over here. As that grooved him in, we put a fact that is nice and alive. And we go down the list and complete it similarly. What are we doing? We're knocking this modifier's edges off of it so that he won't dramatize it, so that he can read it. In other words, he can tell us what it is. Now, having done all of that, we have de-intensified all of these command phrases. Some of them were live, some of them weren't live. But we remember we had several command phrases here that we did get good live ones on, like get out. That was a nice one. We had a couple of others there. Leave. So we know that get out and leave and one or two, three more type of command phrases occur in this thing. And we just write those things down consecutively in a line. They're totally senseless. And we'll say, well, how would leave fit into this modifier? What would it be about leave? We get in the read now, you see, on leave. What about leave? Oh, I'd leave them. All right, you see. I'd leave them. Reads. I. Good. Leave. And that's nice. Ha ha. Good. All right. Now that's one of the phrases of the modifier. All right. Now let's take this other one. Get out. All right. Now how would get out apply in this to this goal? Where would that fit in? The PC will smoke around about it for a while. And you'd say, well, it'd just be, or I'd have to get out. Leave them, or I'd have to get out, which doesn't make good sense, but you write it down. All right, that's part of the modifier. Now we've got two phrases of the modifier. All right, and we've got another one. And we had climb. Climb got a reaction on our list. How does climb fit into the modifier? And climb. Climb, 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 climb. Doesn't seem to be there. Yeah? Climb, 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 climb. Things charged up again. Climb, 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 climb. Oh, climb, climb. Yeah, well, how would climb? See, repeat it back into it again. Don't let it just bounce and try to give it to you. Climb. How would climb apply here? Well, I would leave them and climb to the top, or they'd have to get out. I'd leave them and climb to the top. Now, it isn't quite right. All right, you've got another action phrase or two, and you fit them in, and you eventually fit yourself together some kind of a wild modifier whereby he would leave them cold, never let them find out what he was doing, climb to the top as somebody else, and come back and kick them all out. You get the... Look at the command phrases in the thing. You see, it just shoots him all over the top. Shoots him all over the bottom of the bank. He's out at right angles, left, right, and center. See? Get the idea. Well, he literally obeys in his position in time and space. He literally obeys these command phrases. And he touches them, and then he gets away from them. And it's the auditor's job, after he's touched them and gotten away from them, not to just let him sit over there in left field, you know. Well, I don't think there's any more to that modifier. I don't really quite know why you're doing that particular part of an assessment. There's nothing more to the modifier. There's nothing more there. You say, I wonder if it's nothing more there. Well, you're just kind of Q&A-ing. He's hit an earlier bounce. Nothing more there. There isn't anything to this modifier. Well, you start looking desperately, and you say, what was the last thing we were going over? You look down here, and it was get into left field. And stay there until I make a proper catch. Baseball goal. There he is. He went over in left field, and he's just waiting there to make a proper catch, and you're just bothering him. You get the idea. You watch these sudden behaviors. You won't get behaviors like this on any other portion of a 3D. The modifier, assessing the modifier at number 4, is that peculiar. Now, fortunately, you don't have to work too hard for these modifiers. No. Why? Well, you get the opposition terminal off the setup, and the person doesn't have to make himself so right. See, he has less of a sense of failure here and so forth. Now you get the opposition goal off. Oh, ha, ha, he eventually says, so that's what they've been trying to do to me. Well, what do you know? He also doesn't feel so revengeful because he knows who he's shooting at. Now you ask him for the modifier. He'll give you a list of modifiers and you can assess them. But when you start to run into any trouble on the modifier, get your rudiments in very carefully. Look over the list you've already gotten on the modifier. Add anything to that list. Ask him again. Try to assess the thing down. Now, you can't get that thing assessed down. It's doing something like suddenly all goes null. Everything goes null. You're halfway down the list and everything goes null. That doesn't make sense, does it? The rudiments aren't out, they're in. And yet everything went null. Ah, you look up there, there's leave. Leave. You hit leave and he left. Sometimes in repeating these things to the pre-clear, you know, like get out, get out, get out, something like that. He just sort of feels like he's being blown, you know, out of this whole corner of the universe. It's that powerful when you start feeding it. Of course, you discharge it and bring it down. And these phrases may be quite reactive. And you'll find a PC going this way, maybe. You know, every time you go through the modifier, close to it, the PC goes this way. You know? Or every time you get into the goals area, the PC goes this way. Something like that can happen and be in the modifier. You could actually give an incomplete modifier and it'd still be in there. It'd turn up eventually, but I'd try to get a modifier quite complete. I'd shake a modifier down very well on a meter. And then if you're just around the bend and you don't quite know what to do about the modifier and the PC is acting very peculiarly about the whole thing, just take your red pencil and go down any list you have made on the modifier, and you just circle every command phrase on this, and you just start down with just those command phrases. Deniers, bouncers, callbacks, fixers, whatever it is. Just circle each one, and then just start in at the top and start repeating the command phrase only until you get a read. And it doesn't matter if that read is constant or sporadic. If you get a sporadic read, you take that command phrase and you write it down here on another column. That acted. All right, now let's get to the next command phrase. Let's see if that has anything to do with it. We repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. It knocks. All right, we write that command phrase down. That's in the modifier someplace. Now the next one, repeat it and repeat it, and it's nothing. It's not there. So we skip that one. We get that whole list of command phrases. And don't kick yourself too much in the head if you miss a command phrase. Because you sometimes will look at the list, and it's not your bank after all, and you don't interpret one of these phrases as being a command phrase. For instance, undermanned. Well, undermanned, that's not a command phrase, so you don't repeat it. But Precy, in some weird way, because he's a man, he goes under it. See? So don't kick yourself too hard if you miss some of these as command phrase, because if you get the bulk, the laws of average are all on your side. If you get the bulk of the bouncers and deniers, you can fish the rest of them up. And now you're working on a winning horse here. You eventually get a phrase and it stays in. Now you take one of these others that's been active and you get a phrase and get the PC to tell you how that fits around. And that stays in. And you're kind of building blocks here with bricks. You know, you're building a little wall, fixing it all up. And it's this phrase, it's that phrase. And then you shift the things all around and how would they be? And he changes his mind a half a dozen times and all of a sudden, bang. But I don't know that a modifier contains only one phrase, you see. I there may not be a modifier in the world that contains only one phrase. Just there may not be. I'm not saying that all modifiers contain more than one phrase, but I'm just saying on the other side that there may not be one that contains only one phrase. Because look, that thing has got to keep the goal fixed up and out of sight. It's got to have stayed out of sight itself, and it's got to have buried the problem. It's the action that the PC takes which buries the problem, buries the opponent, which gets everything out of view. It keeps this thing from ever coming up but sweetness and light, a nice goal to build ships. Now, isn't that nice? And as a little boy, he can remember this. He can remember this. Yes, he's had a goal in this lifetime to build ships. Yes, he can remember this, as a little boy. Yes, build ships. And you start getting the modifier, and he suddenly starts remembering other things about building ships when he was a little boy. As every time any other little boy came around the ship sailing pool that had a ship, he was the first one to take rocks and sink the thing, you see? And every time he did so that he can now check up on, he came down with a cold or got measles or something of this sort, you know? It's quite a fantastically random area. At first, in the sweet. You know, he wants to build ships. Isn't that nice? You eventually find out he wants to build ships and send them out and have them sink every vessel on the high seas, every place, and drown them all. Never have anybody find out about it. See, that's how that modifier eventually trails out. It's quite amusing. But it presents the peculiar complexities of assessment, which I have just given you. I don't think right this moment you're having any trouble finding a modifier, particularly. You shouldn't be. The modifier ought to be well de-intensified. But always be prepared, and I would feel remiss if I didn't give you the answers if you did run into trouble finding a modifier. That's how you go about it. Make sure that you list everything the PC says. Make sure of that. Make very sure that after you've gotten the whole list down and You've got to assess that your rudiments are in very neatly. And then that, as you go down the list, its peculiarities of going out or in don't upset you. But when you've gotten down to the end of the list and you've gone through it several times, if you don't find anything, know what's happened. On this list only, know what's happened. It's went. The PC has departed from the list. It isn't a question of rudiments out. It's solely and completely. Of course, the more the rudiments are in, the more easy it is to find a modifier or anything else. But it isn't the PC rudiments are out. It's that you've thrown one of these command phrases into high relief. And, of course, he's done it. And the phrase is in there, or do a bunk. He wants to go to sleep. You never suspect it, you think. But literally, of course, doing a bunk would be going to bed or leaving. And he doesn't quite know what to do. Does he go to bed or go to sleep or does he leave? And that's enough of a problem to send anybody to sleep anyhow. So every time you do a modifier list, you guy goes to sleep and you keep looking for this. Is this someplace in the list? Or sleep my time out? Or anything like that? No? There you are suggesting things. You shouldn't be doing that either. And eventually you'll find out, as you start, take these command phrases. Start running into trouble on this. You start running into real trouble, and it doesn't go according to the book. And it seems to be getting pretty grim. It wasn't too bad to find the other three items before this, but this one's gotten grim. Just know what you're looking at. You're looking at the command phrase obeyed. That's all. And so you circle that, each command phrase you can find, and then the whole list that he's given you, and just take them one by one and repeat it. Leave, 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 leave. He didn't even say anything. He didn't care what you're doing. He's going to react to this. That's for sure. It doesn't matter. Do you mind now if it is all right with me? If you and me sitting here in this auditing room, which I trust is all right with you, if you and me sitting here would find me looking at the meter instead of you, and repeating only a small portion of this particular sentence in order to discharge it slightly so that we can get on with it. I delete all that from my audit. All right, we're looking for this phrase here. I'm trying to find this modifier. I'm going to go over some of these words with you. Leave, 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 leave. Bang! Boy, don't think that these won't have an effect on the PC sometimes because you're going over stuff that's raw meat and rivers of blood. And you start saying, leave, 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 and the PC starts going. You repeat it a few more times, and he sits forward in the chair again. Mark that down as live. But by compiling a sub-list of your own of the command phrases, you've actually then got some of these are going to stay there, some are going to go null, some are going to do this, and some are going to do that. You can actually take the command phrases and make a separate assessment and now ask the PC what we can make out of the remainder. And he'll give you the rest of the modifier. Because it's just command phrases. It's only command phrases alone in the bank that prevent you from finding the modifier. Phrases in it that prevent you from finding it. And that's all there is in it. And you take the kick out of those things. You can take the kick out of those things. You must realize that an auditor can handle the bank better than the PC. Always. So you take these things, and out they go. One after the other, you take the charge off of them. All of a sudden the PC says, well, of course, didn't I tell you it's to build ships and launch them? And if anything goes wrong, to sink them. Didn't I tell you those? Well, they're right there on the list, yes. I knew it myself. He gets very often in all assessment, this will sooner or later, you'll come up against a PC who will do this to you. You have just got through wearing out several ballpoints and reams of paper. The batteries of the E-meter have been bled white. And you have finally gotten the goal to tat. And the PC sits back and is very pleased about the whole thing. And tells you she knew that all the time. Because it's a funny thing about the mind, but they actually do get a sensation of having known it all the time. Well, of course, after you've known, have you've had something preying on your wits for 100 trillion years, I imagine you'd get the feeling that you knew it, even if you didn't. But they very often, it's one of the funny little phenomena of the PC, that they sometimes come up with something that you just work like a dog over it. And they tell you, well, they knew that. It's sort of like, well, look, why didn't you ask me? I could have told you that. And they know doggone well they couldn't have. And it's very funny sometimes a day or two after an assessment to have the PC acting like, well, he just dug it up and he knew it all the time and wasn't anything unusual about it, you know. He can breathe now. He was never able to breathe before. He all went... It's very funny, as unless you complete a 3D on such a thing and de-intensify the thing, he does go phases of a false knowingness of some kind or another. You know, he knew all about it. And you almost feel like saying, listen, damn it, if you knew all about it, why have you had me working here for 5 days? Big stack of broken ballpoints, wadded paper all over the floor. Folders grown to a foot and a half thick. Oh, I knew it all the time. Oh, yes, I always could have told you that. That is, basically, I could have told you long ago. Why didn't you ask me? I mean, I'm called to tat, of course. I always had that going, knew that. What's all the fuss about? It reminds you of somebody, you know, who's put a time bomb in the bottom of the building and knocked the whole thing over. The street is full of rubble and everything else, and he's standing there. He's unimpressed. It's very funny. But, of course, the whole goal modifier versus the opposing goal, of course, this whole thing is in one package. And it all contains knowingness. This is what the PC, by the way, in the final analysis, will be found to know most about. Because he's been accumulating knowingness of various kinds on this subject since... Whoa! You can do this kind of a trick to a PC. You can take after you've got a 3D done before you run anything. You can ask him, you can say, well, now what attributes of a cricket player have you ever used in this lifetime? He's not played cricket this whole lifetime. Every time you go near a cricket field, he goes, and falls in. Of course, he has a bat at home, and he always has wanted to play cricket. He knows he should, you know, but he just never does. And so on. And what attributes of a cricket player? And he suddenly realized that his clothes are all covertly designed in some fashion or another to be cricket clothes. You know? And when he laid out a garden, he always lays out a playing field. He never has laid out a garden yet. And all of his various equipment, for instance, if he got a shovel in the garden, the only kind of shovel that really pleases him is something that looks like a cricket bat. You know, it's a little off ball. And then he lives exactly the same kind of training regimen that you'd have to live in order to play cricket, you see. And he's married the right kind of a woman to be the wife of a cricket player, you see. And he's mad at her all the time because she doesn't tell him all of the things that a cricket player's wife should do. But he studied the various things that a cricket player should know. He knows all about lawns. He's often wondered why, in the name of common sense, he can never pass a seed store without going in getting a new folder on lawns. You know, because every lawn that he ever plants, you know, just goes up in smoke. It's a complete mess. And you just ask him that, and he'll start sorting these things out, and actually a lot of this false knowingness will discharge. You know, it's, woo, wait, there is something to know. It's a way of differentiating, you see. It sounds as if you're checking the thing up or something like that, and being professional and so on. What you're actually doing is getting to differentiate a little bit. Not a necessary step. That is just gilding the lily. But it's quite unusual. You'll find out that the majority of skills will be on the first terminal. First goals plus modifier terminal of the PC, the majority of skills which he is now expert in are the skills of that. Of course, he is here living a life of a plumber and so forth, and the skills he has mastered are those of a deep sea fisherman. Certainly raises hell with plumbing. Actually, all he knows of plumbing is what a deep sea fisherman would have to know in an emergency. He finds it very easy to carry on with plumbing as long as it goes just to that point. Therefore, he somehow or another never gets along in his trade. He'll actually push his education and so forth to that exact zenith necessary to carry out the goal's terminal. Just that. He won't push his education much beyond that. There's no incentive. Of course, there aren't any of these anymore. It's the chief taster to the king. Doesn't matter what he's doing in this lifetime, his skills will be that, and his study and his zenith and so forth will be that of a chief taster of the king. He know all about foods, and he know all about wines, but to a somewhat limited degree. You give him a wine list, tell him memorize the wine list, he'll go on down the wine list, and he'll tell you, well, there's certain things about these wines. For instance, port, very dark. It's not a very good wine. Very dark. It's a heavy wine. It's very heavy. It masks impurities. Poor wine. Now, these light wines, they're much better. You have to be sure they're absolutely clear. Actually, you won't know what this guy's talking about until all of a sudden you know what his goal's terminal is, and he knows what it is. You'll know why this is his limit of knowledge of wine. He never seems to be able to educate himself beyond whether wine could be poisoned or not. Okay, so therefore, it's body, color, and transparency. It's very funny. It's never occurred to him that wine has taste beyond a heavy taste that would mask a poison. So the heavy-tasting wines, very poor, very poor. You should never have a heavy-tasting wine. A wine should be very, very simple. It should be very, very simple on the tongue, you see? Very simple. Like Chablis. Now, there's a perfect wine. You know, drink water, drink Chablis, same difference. You know? It's very, very amusing. And yet that will be his knowledge of it. He has just got himself stacked in exactly this educational bracket. And then he screwed the lid on from that point on, and that's it. And every lifetime he goes through the same cycle. But this brings up another point. This brings up another point. Is a goal's terminal, when found, is only the total answer to the current case from a mental aspect basis. It will take care of so much in a lifetime that it would be very easy for you to make a total error on the subject and consider that one goal's run of 3D and one level knocked out should resolve the whole case. Now, I want to disabuse you of that particular fallacy. That is not going to do it. That is going to go a long ways. And there'll be so many of these things explained. And the person's ceiling is so obviously the exact ceiling of that goal's terminal. And all of this looks so good, and there's so many things that you could add up into all this, that it looks as though the case should resolve, and you get down to the end of the first run, and the case will not be resolved. The case will still have chronic somatics. The case will still have circuits. And the case will still have a whole new gold valence chain to get out of the road. Remember I talked to you about onions? Well, you're just getting off the first series. You're getting off the most obvious, most present, most available series. Now, there's another series back of that, and there's another series back of that, and there's another series back of that. I couldn't give you an adventure. A guess is all I could adventure on that exact subject, but it would be something on the order, I don't know, 12, 15, 20. It's a finite number. It's a small number like that. Now, they resolve the case. They resolve the case, 15, 20. But not that first one. Now, you see, you could ask him, and he'd rationalize everything, and everything in his life would settle out, and he could be perfectly content and happy with this as the total explanation of it all, don't you see? He's perfectly cheerful with this. Only for some reason or other, he still has headaches. He still has this, and he still has that, and he still has something else. He's got some negative qualities sitting around here someplace that he still doesn't like. Now, here's the danger of you supposing that one run, one goal, one number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and a completed six would totally solve everything there was to be solved about the case. Now, if you believe this, then this is the error you would make. You would let the PC try to solve the case through one valence. True enough, this is the valence. This is the only one available. True enough, that explains all the current situation. But how'd he get in such lousy shape that he could get this valence? Oh, well, that's all. That's all to be continued in tomorrow's episode of The Perils of Pauline. that's another story. But now, I'm not remarking on that. Just in play, because this is it. A PC will try to make an all out of a valence. And that's a very, very important thing for you to notice. A PC will try to make an all out of a valence. Now, it's an onion with many layers, and you're taking them off a billion layers at a crack. And they're all very fundamental, and they're all very marvelous, and they all have various changes on cases. But remember, there's another layer. There's another series of layers. That's the one you've got to get off. And you expect all of the pressure that goes against the left temple. Oh, every time he gets this idea, he gets this pressure against the left temple. You see, it's pressure. And he thinks of the goal, and he thinks of the terminal, and he gets the pressure against the left terminal. Oh, man, he's convinced, you see. And he finishes up running the goal, and you know the pressure isn't gone. It's only partially abated, and it's not gone, and so on. Well, he wants to run the goal some more, you see, because he only gets the pressure when he turns on the goal terminal, and so on. It doesn't turn on so much now, so he's not quite sure what it is. But there's supposed to have been a pressure across, and it's not quite gone. He can still feel a thing. Well, while he's running, this is the only thing that comes to you with any importance. While he is running, he will use the valence as a circuit to make it an end-all. And this is one of the little covert points of long goals runs. The reason why they run forever is because the PC is trying to make that one valence do for the whole case. Not the idea. He actually is going on a via now. He'll answer the auditing question, and then he thinks of something between sessions
You know, well, I've often had this little pain, you see, underneath my chin. And I wonder if there isn't some kind of an incident here where a cricket player might have been, you know, hit by a, or fell down on a wicket, or I wonder if there's on a wicket. Next session, he's sitting there waiting for the cricket player to fall down on the wicket. No, I don't see any pictures of wickets. See, well, maybe next session one will turn up where the cricket player falls down on the wicket and gets this somatic underneath his chin. Well, I'll wait for next session and see how that fits in. Get the idea? He's trying to use that term for everything. Hell, that had nothing to do with the cricket player. That was when he was a janitor in a castle in Lower Slobodia and had made a habit of killing women with knitting needles. And one day one slipped. He's had the somatic ever since. And it's true enough that for that particular somatic, every time he has seen a slender piece of metal anywhere, it's upset him. But it had nothing to do with being a cricket player. Follow that? So, in running rudiments on 3D, as the case progresses, you must be more and more alert to whether or not the case is still being audited by you. Because there could come a time in 3D when the case is no longer audited by you, and that'll be the time you've gone through the 159th level. And there aren't that many levels in the pre-half scale, unless you go over to secondary scale. And you've gone to the 159th level of the secondary scale, and you want to know what's wrong. Well, what's wrong is the PC has been on self-audit and using this thing as a circuit and passing everything through that he was told to do is being passed through this terminal. Long since it has ceased to be an aberrative terminal. In other words, clearing can be prolonged by the PC turning the valence into a circuit and trying to make something out of the session. The PC continues now to try to make something out of every session that isn't there. He's trying to make everything that has ever happened to him in 200 trillion years apply solely and exclusively to just this one terminal. Now, what you want to do is keep the PC under control, keep the rudiments in every session, and find out if there's anything peculiar going on, or if the PC is doing anything peculiar between sessions. And get very clever about this, and ask, well, are you looking at, do you have any pictures between sessions? Since I last audited you, do you have any pictures? You ever see any different pictures? Oh, that's a cunning question, isn't it? It's the same as saying, are we auditing yourself since yesterday? Only it's not accusative, is it? Would you see any pictures? Do you have any pictures of anything since I audited yesterday? Oh, yeah. Well, you went to sleep last night. Oh, good. What were the pictures of? What were you doing with them? Oh, you're looking for the somatic there in your chin and so forth. All right. Now, let's see. There's going to be a rudiment out, isn't there? Because you're no longer the auditor. So it is just auditor out, that is all. Because they're getting anxious, they're pressing. They're getting anxious. And the slower you are, the less auditing you give, the more anxious the PC is going to give, and the more likely they are to start this circuitry. And they start this circuitry. The circuitry keeps gigging on and on and on. And they try to solve the whole case with a cricket player. God, you've got cricket player and a cricket player. Well, before you got through, the only ruler the world has ever had has been a cricket player, you know. They've always had ideas on government, so they sit around wondering, how did a cricket player have ideas on government, you see? What would be a cricket player's opinion, you see, of that? What would be a cricket player's opinion of government? How would a cricket player rule? I suppose you could become a very famous cricket player, and then...
then what do you mean? And somebody comes down, oh, yeah, I see how it is, and you pass it on, and he's got a whole mock-up that had nothing to do with the case. Before he decided that he had better not be trusted with anything more violent than a cricket bat, this fellow was Chancellor of the Exchequer. There is no remote connection with the government necessary to resolve the case. Your next terminal coming up after cricket player is Chancellor of the Exchequer. That's one of the covert lives he leads. And its goal is to handle other people's money. And the modifier is, and leave them flat broke and so, of course, he had to become Chancellor of the Exchequer. The only way a crooked banker cannot be caught, you see, is to be part of the government or something. That or nobody can, there isn't anybody's money, you see. It's the government's money, so that's very easy to handle. Very snide of me, but I'm showing you the put together with this. One terminal doesn't resolve a case. It's up to you to press on, press on. Press on. Now, you won't get up to running any prehab levels in the next couple of days, probably. But if you were to do so, put a standard five-way bracket together. Just put a standard five-way bracket together. And I can't give you any possible variation from this. This is your safest bet and the tested bet and what will happen. And just put your standard why, how, what bracket together that makes sense. And then run it to a stuck tone arm. And as soon as the tone arm sticks, get off of it. Well, how? What do I mean, as soon as? Well, after you're sure the tone arm isn't going anyplace else. And before the PC goes crazy. You see, that's as soon as. That exactly defines as soon as. Is when you're sure the tone arm is not going anyplace else and before the PC goes crazy. That actually gives you a margin of about 2 days of auditing. I don't think the PC goes entirely berserk until after the second day of being run on a tone arm. Of course, nobody can find the next prehab level, and it's a gone dog now. But I think you'll find there's just a possibility, that levels on this may only run for a half an hour or so before the next level is gone, has to be found. So watch it. Watch it. We've just condensed 100 hours of run down to an hour, see? So watch it carefully. And don't sit around there. Oh, you can run it for 20 minutes to see if the thing is going to move anymore. It isn't going to kill anybody. The pressure started getting tough, tight on his chest. He started to talk something like this. Well, it's time for you to get very alert and say, you know, I wonder if how long has that tone arm been stuck? I looked at it about a half an hour ago, and it wasn't stuck then, or was it? Let's see, it's sitting at 4 now, and it was sitting at 4 when we came into session. I've been auditing 2.5 hours. I wonder. Move. Let me see. I look over this auditor's report here. No, it's 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Well, I wonder what's wrong with the PC then. I mean, he's complaining about his chest being crushed in. Well, the reason his chest is being crushed in is the goal plus modifier versus the opposition goal are a one great big mass. And the more you audit beyond what is necessary to relieve it, the more squash you're going to get. And so you get a rising tone arm, rising tone arm, rising tone arm. The tone arm dives, of course. But you get a different read on the tone arm. It'll go denser, 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 denser. And now you notice that the tone arm has stopped moving, but the needle is still twitching. The tone arm is moving, the needle still twitches. That's a wonderful time to get off of it. You're sure now that stone arm isn't going to go any further, and the needle is just getting tighter, and everything is kind of sticking up. Ha ha, let's get out of there, and let's get another level assessed before we kill the PC. That is the safest way to do it, but it takes judgment. And I actually cannot, in all fairness to auditing, not to you, give you a minute rule for how long you audit it, because it's going to vary. And some of these things are going to go fast. They're going to go flat fast. I've seen one of these things come down the tone arm now. I've seen one come down on something on the order of 2.5 hours from the top to the bottom of the scale and vanished. Not much of a run, was it? The right terminal sure bit the dust in a hurry. So your volume of time is spent on assessment. If you go about it, just form up a 5-way bracket, run it to a stuck arm, you will see the characteristics of the arm. You'll see it, and then reassess. The thing will go up, and then it'll start, or go down, and then suddenly got stick, 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 stick. Of course, as long as that tone arm is moving around, you go on running it. But it goes up and sticks, thud. Now, if you run a session over that, the PC becomes unassessable. You can't do anything to assess the PC. So you've got to stop it before you wreck the next assessment. That is the whole judgment on it. There's no other judgment can be given you. And you'll see it. You'll see it sooner or later. By the way, the level you're running will still knock. But that's because the terminal knocks. You can still see the level knock, and then you reassess, and it isn't there anymore. So don't bother about the level still reading on the needle when the tone arm is stuck after having run that level, because you'll continue to see it read. Of course, the level is gone. You're just reading pure terminal. You're not reading the level anymore. Okay, well, there it is. I'm very satisfied with the way you've been going. I hope the few little remarks I've been making here are getting it easier for you to do an assessment and carry on, feel more relaxed about it. And I think, should be able to get down here to an optimum assessment. I think the optimum assessment of a complete goals assessment and a complete run through 3D at the first time on a very expert auditor, a very, very, very good auditor who is a very fine expert who knows all there is to know about it, on a goal that has never been found on a PC, has never had much auditing, something should be in the neighborhood of about 20 hours. So speed up. I have only multiplied the factor about 4. Susie can do one in 5.5 hours. So you should be able to do it in 20. Okay? All right, so tell me that you will do it in under 100, will you? I mean, the PC clear, of course. Thank you.